This is Ben Gujan with Quad City Arts, and welcome back to Talking Art, supported by Quad City Bank and Trust. Today, I am talking art with Manuel Lopez III, drummer, vocalist, and music director of Polyrhythms, and Reggie Reed, the board president of Polyrhythms, whose Bill Bell Jazz and Heritage Festival is coming up August 16th through 18th, 2024. Manuel and Reggie, welcome to Talking Art. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you for having us both.
Yes, thank you for having us here.
Yeah, wonderful. It's great to have you. So this is a big year for the Jazz and Heritage Festival. It's your 10th year.
It is. It's our 10th year, and we're looking forward to getting out there and seeing all the work that we've kind of put on in the past maybe 6 months. Probably takes about that long to kind of get things running. And we're excited, and we're really excited about the lineup. It's going to be great, and I can't wait to see it myself. So it's always exciting to have a festival that you can, as a musical director for Polyrhythms, I was able to, had me put shows together.
Sure.
So to be able to kind of like know musicians, come from that area of it, and wait for things to come around again and new bands to come up, it's always fun to get those new little things around. And so that's what we've always done. Try to keep it, you know, within 150 miles. Sometimes we get Chicago, but there's so many great musicians around here, so it's easy. You know, it's easy to put them together.
Yeah, there really are. And looking at the lineup you have just some incredible artists this year. Germ Theory, Johnny Miller and the Romaniacs, Quad City Griots, Cucina Jazz, Swampland Jewels, BYO Brass, and so many other things. You've got the Soul of the City Family Fun Day, Black Authors Forum and Book Fair. It's going to be an incredible weekend, and you're doing it at the MLK Center on Friday and Saturday, correct?
Yes, that is correct. At the MLK Center on Friday and Saturday. Friday we start at 5 p.m. With the sort of a drum circle that's kind of just calls everyone around and just kind of like lets everyone know that something's happening in downtown Rock Island.
Awesome.
Let's go. And then we will have music at 6 with the Polyrhythms Trio, which is myself on drums and Ronald Wilson on the bass and Corey Kendrick on piano. And he teaches
Corey
at Black Hawk College, of course, right now. Mm-hmm. And he took over Edgar Crockett, our very dear friend. And let's see. And then after them is Germ Theory from Geneseo area. And they're you know, they've been making the rounds and having a good time this summer. And they got a new album and new singles and stuff. And so I know them really well. And actually, I had a jam session last night until midnight. And one of the guitar players came out and played with us. And it was just great.
That's awesome.
So we were talking about how excited we are. And I'm excited to see them. And they play like funky, you know, funky stuff and some deep stuff. And they have great musicians and always have a really good time. And then John Miller and the Romaniacs from Peoria, they do like gypsy jazz, like Django and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they have four fantastic musicians and they just groove. And it's so hip. And it's a beautiful sound. I can't wait to hear it down there kind of like bounce off the house. This is going to be kind of cool. You know? So,
that's going to be awesome.
It's going to be fun. So that's Friday, Saturday. MLK has a family fun day and some more music. And then Sunday has some more music.
That's awesome. Well, I cannot wait for it. It's August 16th through 18th, MLK Center, Friday, Saturday, and the United Universalist Congregation in Davenport on Sunday. All right, so let's dive in a little more. You were telling us about some of the groups that we're going to have at the festival, Manuel.
Yes.
But I would love to learn a little more about you as an artist. You're the musical director for Polyrhythms.
Yes.
And what is that tale, and how did that start?
Well, it started with my relationship with Nate Lawrence, who was one of the pioneers of really keeping the heritage of family here in the Quad Cities, as well as understanding, I think, the importance of having a heritage and respecting grandparents, really understanding what they've done for you. And I think out of that, he was able to put things together throughout his life, that worked with the Quad Cities, worked with different people in the Quad Cities, and were able to bring a lot of jazz music and a lot of musicians that he knew and contacts that he had throughout his life here. And so he kind of had a little edge because he had known some of these people. There's some names that, you know, such as Donald Mead, which was a mentor of his, and he did sort of the same thing. But his thing was he was on tour with Oscar Peterson, and so Nate got to see some of these great musicians, and I think he understood the importance of bringing that music in a way that can entail some sort of workshops for young people to understand what's happening in the music and, you know, while it's happening, how do we get here on this stage? That type of thing. So I think he always had that sort of, you know, vibe about him to where he would always have different ideas. I mean, we would talk on the phone and he'd have seven ideas. And they weren't little ideas. They were, you know, go into the max on it. But I think that this, you know, this was kind of the pinnacle in me, you know, having a 3-day festival. And it was always 3 days. When we started in 2014,
yeah,
right off the bat, it was going to be 3 days. And he knew it because he wanted to focus it and kind of have a little mini replica here in the Quad Cities of the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. And so he kind of pictured it like a 3-day event, all kinds of music, because, of course, Quad Cities has all kinds of music. You know, and then maybe be able to get some, you know, some funding. Through the, you know, it's a nonprofit, you know, and through the grants and our special donors, to be able to do something that we can maybe bring in a couple of cats from outside the Quad Cities as headliners.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what his vision was. And so he just had me come and execute it, you know, and because we had known each other, I mean, look, you know, outside of my father, who's a trumpet player, outside of him, Nate was very instrumental in a strong way of getting me to play and so people could see me out with something like him.
Sure.
So he met me when I was a teenager. And so he would hire me like in our teens because he knew we were swinging, me and my brother-in-law, Ron, who is the bass player who's in the Polyrhythms Trio.
Oh, got it.
So
yeah.
He's my brother-in-law. I'm sorry. So we grew up together in high school. We went to United Township High School. Shout out to UT. And we had a great band program. And so my brother-in-law grew up as a jazz musician, and so did I, with my father. Both our fathers played. So we got together, and Nate had seen us somewhere just because he was probably out scoping and looking for the new thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in retrospect, I can see that. But and he saw us together and said, I got to get these guys. So I think once he had a trio that he could trust and who could read, then he would bring in different friends of his, one of them being Bill Bell, who was, you know, he's got his own history of growing up here in East Moline in Watertown, and he went to Augustana and went to University of Iowa, and then he ended up going out to San Francisco, Bill Bell I'm speaking of, and he became someone that Nate was. So, like, Nate just had these great models in his life that surrounded themselves with music, knew if there was a way that they can do it, putting together a good team to execute it could have a really good effect and have really good music at the same time. I think he knew how to have a good party and you know, want to teach at the same time and have that element of educational aspects to it, which he, you know, even in the festival, you know, we have like a Francis Clay, Mo Payton, who are two other brothers. And they were also hometown heroes to him. And they were hometown heroes to a lot of musicians here that played back in the 50s and 60s. And so we have a youth performance stage that happens on the Saturday at MLK Park. And that we kind of have like we choose like 12. Well, we don't choose them. Whoever wants to come can play. So we get like 12 people, our youth performances. We have dancers. We have young people who come and play, like sometimes they'll just play piano for a song and sometimes they'll just come sing. We've had, you know, trumpet players and, you know, a brother and sister came out and did something that was really cool one of those times. So having that aspect was still great and still important to Nate, as well as the Third Sunday Jazz Series, which kind of blends into this. It's kind of like, because it's always on the third Sunday, except for one for after the COVID one that we had to do after that, but... And so he keeps the Third Sunday Jazz Series program happening. It just happens to be a festival that he wanted to do, try to do once a year. And and here we are again.
Yeah, he was so passionate about his promotion of local artists and also keeping the heritage of those artists who had Quad City ties here. You know, it.
Yes, yes. And I think maybe just to be able to stop and, you know, if you read his words, I mean, Nate was very, very good at presenting something, you know. He grew up with a lot of young people around him that were very educated, and they were very well-spoken and well-read. And mm-hmm. so I think that influenced the way that he was able to take his ideas and put them on paper, so when grants or people read them, they want to support it, because the way that he does it is so – it's so elegant and respectful that you could kind of see everything that he was kind of getting to the point of what he kind of wanted to do. So maybe there's not so much maybe there's a reflection that he wanted to do in it. Let's stop and think about these people. Even in the word heritage, I mean
– yeah.
You know, when you think of that – if that's in the thing, you know, even for a moment you think about your heritage and, you know, and where you came from. And I think that was the – you know, that was the thing that he saw in New Orleans that – he thought, well, we could have that here, you know, and we could just use the Third Sunday Jazz series as the catalyst. We already do it on Sunday. We'll just add a Friday and Saturday. We'll do it at the MLK Center and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. So,
well, and that's one of the things I love about the festival is that it is not just a music festival. It is a heritage festival. You have the Black Authors Forum and Book Fair as part of it.
Yes.
And I think Shelley Guy Moore is kind of heads that up. Can you tell me a little more about that?
Well, I mean, this will just be the second one.
This will be the second one, yes. And what that's all about is, you know, what we try to do is try to reach out and inform people about different things, like, you know, health standards that, you know, a lot of people don't think about. Like, one of the subjects is lupus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be something that a lot of people don't know about, don't understand it, you know, because they don't have it.
Right.
But you'll learn a lot more about it if you come to one of those forums. And so it's really worth that effort, if nothing else, to go in and listen to different aspects of what goes on with lupus. And in the past few years, that's been a highlight. You know, people come not only for the music, but they come to get some of the information that's out there. Like you mentioned a little bit earlier, we got the authors forum there, too. And we'll have that again, too. Black Authors Forum is what we have.
And so, are those all local authors?
Some of them are from out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they come here to kind of, you know, make people aware of their products and stuff. So that's kind of what the Black Authors Forum is about.
Yeah. I do know that the Black Authors Forum will, you know, they'll bring their books to be sold. So, and they'll be sold all weekend.
Sure.
It's Friday at 6 o'clock, mm-hmm. right? The Black Authors Forum is Friday at 6 o'clock, and then I believe they're going to be set up, you know, still in the Ida Robinson Room in MLK Center, with all of their stuff to be able to be purchased for the weekend. So that's great. You know, it opens up that sort of the art.
Yeah.
Of writing. And then we did have, the name escapes me, but we had the movie, the showing last year. Was it last year that we did?
Yeah.
How it is? Like
it all blends. It all blends together. Is that yesterday or 7 years ago? I'm not sure.
But things like that. You know, of course, there could always be more, and you know, hopefully we'll have some more ideas. I know that. Speaking a little bit about the MLK Family Fun Day, that aspect of it, I think, was really great. If I could talk about that for a moment, because that collaboration was another thing that, you know, when Nate was alive, he really made the decisions of what he was going to do. There was no real board. I think that we've had to start making decisions since he's passed. So he was always knowing what he was doing. And I think that what had happened is we were having the Bill Bell Jazz and Heritage Festival at MLK every third Sunday. And then they, for maybe for just 1 year, and I can't speak for them, but they were wanted to do a MLK Family Fun Day, and they were doing it the week after, I believe. And so, they brought in some music, and then I think as soon as that was done, I think maybe they came to Nate, or I don't know, I would have to ask them, but they came together and just said, why don't we combine these things, you know, you could bring your what you have, because they had like bouncy houses, and they, it was really based around the family, you know, a lot of the outreach that comes from MLK, you know, community center. And so, you know, it was a no-brainer probably for him to put them together. I mean, I don't know. He just said, we're going to get it with MLK Day. You know, here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so we were like, okay. And it didn't change anything that I was doing, because we were always starting, you know, we kind of, by that time we had a really nice platform of how we want to do the music, you know, for timelines and stuff like that, what time we need to be done. So, you know, as long as it didn't mess with any of my stuff, I was like, oh, whatever you want to do, Nate, I'm right with you. And it was great. I mean, you know, it was beautiful, you know, you know, he knew it was going to be, you know, it worked out great. And the communication with them, they were like top notch, you know, and not that I expected anything less, but, they were very great to work with. And, we've got some emails going, but we're all going to meet up here in the next couple of weeks and survey the land and make sure everything is good and ready to go. So,
yeah. Well, that's one of the things I love so much about the Quad Cities is how many organizations are open to those kind of collaborations. Yeah. You know, I know from our end with Quad City Arts, like we collaborate with other community partners all the time. And, you know, people here are open and ready for that to make the things happen, mm-hmm. you know, because it's easy to talk about doing the things, but getting the people on board to put in the work and do them, you know, and that's, you know, thinking of Nate, like Nate was a doer.
Yeah.
Nate was a doer with the Third Sunday Jazz and the festival and, you know, all those collaborations with Rivermont and with the Sound Conservatory for Third Sunday Jazz. And I was so excited to have you as a guest, Manuel, because I've seen you perform it though.
Okay.
I get to see this guy in person now.
Yeah. It's always been great. But, you know, Nate, we were speaking earlier, and I wanted to mention that Nate was a good producer.
Yeah.
You know, he knew what he needed to make things happen. And just like you said, when you can have those sort of collaborations, and why not? You know, you'd be silly not to, but like you said, it's the do part is really hard, you know. And to get to rally those troops behind you that, you know, have time and can do it. I mean, you know how it, you know, in life, if you have a family or something like that, like, you know, for myself, it's, you know, this was easy for me to do in some respects, because I have conversations with musicians and most of the guys I know, you know, so it's very easy for me to kind of organically put a little festival together. But, you know, it takes a village.
Yeah.
You know, and we're one big village here. And I think it's always been warm and welcome here. I mean, people are coming here because of that, you know, and starting to play some more music. And I mean, there's more music now than there's ever been in the Quad Cities. And I know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all very good quality music and jams that are opening up. And it's, you know, I don't think we're ever going to be, you know, short of any great music that we could have at the festival. That's fun. And if we can keep getting special people that, you know, we can call in from Nate's arsenal. He met so many people because he used to be on jazz education platforms and stuff all the time. So he would go to these places and meet these people who were also musicians. And so we've had a lot of those, and he's made, you know, many, many friends over the years that we're able to call on, you know. And so we have really good connections, and we're happy where we are, you know. It's been good.
Well, that's one thing I think that's so great about the Third Sunday Jazz Series is the fact that before every concert, there is a jazz education portion where students can come in and learn to play with these musicians.
Correct. I think that the hardest thing to happen on that is that you know, we get the word out through emails, through flyers, and through social media as much as we can. But the thing is like, if you don't have a family member, a mother and father, who are willing to take you there, or if you don't have schools who aren't going to run buses on a Sunday at 3 o'clock to come and see a workshop, or, you know, those types of things, it's hard to get the audience that you need in there outside of what's going on. You know, so if we have grandma and grandpas, tell your grandkids, like, those types of things. But then you have to bring them, you know. So
right.
That's what I always thought was, you know, even when we were at, you know, other places that we've been, because the workshop has always been part of the program. Like, it has to be there, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes the best times we had were when churches would bring, like, their youth groups or, you know, that would be part of some sort of curriculum. So, you know, I've often wondered if, you know, and here it is the manpower again, but, mm-hmm. you know, getting something together where somebody has to try to figure out where something like this is, these workshops, and embed them into your camps or something, you know. You don't have to be a musician, but if you knew there was a free workshop that you could take your group to, mm-hmm. you know, on a Sunday. But like I said, sometimes it's a hard sell to get parents to do that if it's for the youth. But everything that we do, another aspect about Nate was everything that we do is documented on tape right. and video. So every single – he's been archiving for years, mm-hmm. like 20 years, 30 years he's been archiving all of these performances. And so, you know, and now we have a place – our man Craig Davis, our man, he has a station on Roku and online and stuff like that, where he's archiving these performances now from the Redstone Room, from Rivermont, from everywhere that we've been in the past years, or Nate's been in the past years. So we have now a place that all these workshops and stuff can be at least, you know, saved and looked yeah. up in history here to see what's happening. But they're always great. I think the musicians are challenged when they have to come in. Me saying that Nate met a lot of musicians, they were all educators. And so the people that Nate would get for the Polyrhythms Third Sunday Jazz Series were mostly educators from around here. Iowa City, mm-hmm. you know, Peoria, and then all the great musicians that come out of here. And so for them, it was, you know, it's second nature for them to really feel comfortable with an audience. Some of them come in knowing, you know, there's some musicians that come in knowing and having done this exactly how they're going to do it. You know,
sure.
They got to start. They got to finish. They got something that can get people in it. And we've had a few people there, but there could always be more. You know, but we can only advertise it and you know, and let people come out. But I'm sure that there's an avenue where things could be sent to certain schools. But for example, in the summer, you know, there's no school. So where right. do you hook up with them as far as getting the word out? You know, don't tell me to do that because that'll be on my next one. We just got to get some people like, yo, here's what I want you to do. but yes, the workshop element is great. It's great to see the musicians in that element, not on stage, you know. There's been very few that, you know, really didn't know how to run a thing. But that's another great thing about Nate. He was always at these workshops, and he would stay there and take pictures because he was a photographer as well, documenting all this stuff. But he would, if something wasn't happening, he would get on the microphone and make things happen, you know?
Sure.
So he would kind of guide a musician if they needed a little direction, or he kind of felt that, you know, something was kind of going crazy, you know? But, you know, it's an ebb and flow. I'm sure he saw over the years of, you know, a lot of people at the workshops and then like none, you know.
Sure.
Depends over the year, you know, what happens. But as from what I understand it, as part of the grant and how he was getting the money, you know, the education not only had to be a part of it, but like I said at the beginning, he was all about that.
Sure.
So it was probably an integral part of it. He started there, I think, you know.
Yeah, and I love the archival aspect of it because, and you know, you alluded to this a bit with both you and Ron Miller that, you know, you come from musicians, mm-hmm. and especially with jazz, there is such an element of of heritage and musicians, training the next generation of jazz musicians. I'd love to hear more about that. Like, you know, you guys having the archives now of these lessons and how that jazz heritage has been passed on to you and how you pass that on to other generations.
Yeah. You mean myself?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big thing. I think that the musician, I think probably a musician who becomes a musician that's, you know, really enjoys music, really enjoys playing, their heritage is so important. I mean, what did they grow up with listening to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, was their father or mother a brass player where they didn't hear any sort of chordal thing around the house being played sometimes? Were they just a guitar player where, you know, there was no piano around, but there was an acoustic guitar, you know? And then do their parents listen to anything? You know, what did they listen to? You know, where did they grow up? And then, you know, if you're lucky, you get a chance to kind of go around the world as a musician and meet these people. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it's a great little thing to have. There's a special camaraderie, I think, that happens instantly. And you don't have to use words, you know, which is very powerful too.
Yeah, the music is the language.
Yeah, it is. And even if you don't know the language, I mean, you know, people can go around the world and just play with people and start jamming in E, and you know, mm-hmm. and then you're off and running. And it's fun. And it's fun. We did it last night, you know, having a jam last night was really fun. Never know what's going to happen and or what tunes are going to be called. And I guess that's part of the heritage, you know, of it. But, yeah.
Yeah, and you grew up playing drums, right? And that's still kind of your main instrument.
I did. I grew up playing drums, and I do play drums a lot. And then I picked up the piano kind of maybe right before high school. I say that because I didn't grow up with the piano in my house, but my next-door neighbor, Jenny, she had a piano. And she was going to leave for the summer, and she says, I know you like music. Do you want to have this keyboard? She had just got a keyboard for Christmas or something.
Sure.
I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks. So, and that was fun. You know, it was fun to play on one. And I think I, you know, at that point, maybe I had a good enough ear to be able to pick up some tunes that, you know, I really enjoy listening to. And now I play keyboards almost more than I play drums. Yeah. And I can read a little bit. You know, we were talking about Corey Kendrick,
yeah.
who's part of the Polyrhythms Trio. We both are, one of our teachers was Edgar Crockett. And so Edgar taught me a lot about music. I spent some time with him as well as playing with him. You know, he would hire me a lot. So that's the school, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I must've had a talent that they saw that they could use. And, you know, when you have good players, it doesn't matter what age they are, you know, You want to try to get them because they're good, you know. And if they suit what you need, then that's the bonus of it, you know. So,
yeah, and I think sometimes there have been musicians I've seen. We had Baron Ryan come as part of our visiting artist series a couple years ago, and his father, whose name is escaping me right now, unfortunately, he was so connected to the piano. Like it was like he and the piano were one, and it was just that experience of a lifetime of playing that instrument and communicating with that instrument.
Yeah, it does. There's an element of comfortableness and you know, being able to make you know, quick adjustments as a musician over the years, knowing what needs to happen quickly in order for things to sound as good as they can. I think that's, you know, that's what really makes the professional in that aspect of being able to be like a session musician or a sub musician. Like right now I kind of picture myself as somebody who is just like a sub. Like I play with a lot of different bands.
Sure.
And I get calls sometimes if somebody needs something. I don't really have anything myself now, but in the past I have had bands that have played, But yeah, being able to have that knowledge of it and oneness, like you said, you know.
Yeah.
It does become like that. It's also a curse, because then every time you hear songs, like you're listening to it. We were talking about that last night, you know, listening to it in a different way. I work with the cat now, and he has perfect pitch. And so I said, I don't know if I could do perfect pitch. Every song that came on, man, I'd be like, oh, like, what key is this in? Oh, I'm like G. I'm like E. I'm like C. I'm like, I would, I don't know if I'd be able to do that. But yeah, it's... Music has been fun. It can be really fun. It's the hard work is setting up and tearing down.
Sure,
it's the freaking hard work. I think that's the most I tell, like, the funnest aspect of being famous for me would be not having to freaking set up and tear down that stuff, man. I just like to be able to walk in with a fresh mind of knowing what you're gonna do. You have the rehearsals and execute it. To be able to go in and just play the music and not have to worry about sound and running sound and stuff like that, I think that's incredibly important for, you know, a musician to play at his best, you know?
Yeah.
I've seen some great gigs get messed up because, you know, somebody who's trying to do so much just gets flustered and they have to worry about so much. But sometimes, you know, that's a sacrifice you have to make if you want to do something your way. You know, and if you don't have money to do it, you know, then it's really hard to have someone help you and, you know, want to do it out of just pure kindness, you know. But yeah, it's worth it though. In the end, it's worth it.
Yeah, I used to have a friend who was a double blip bass player, and I lived in New York at the time, and I would see him schlepping his double bass around on the subway.
Especially that instrument,
it's like, oh, no, thanks.
Oh, my
I'll
goodness.
I'll play harmonica.
I hope he had a nice case on it. I hope, at least.
He did.
Good.
He did. He protected that with his life.
That's funny.
But, yeah, well, Reggie and Manuel, it's been so great to have you here. Thank you both so much. I'm so excited for the festival. Once again, the Bill Bell Jazz and Heritage Festival will be August 16th through 18th. Both the 16th and 17th will be at the MLK Center in Rock Island, and the 18th will be at the Universal Unitarian Church in Davenport. And you can find out more information about that at polyrhythms.org. Once again, I would like to thank you guys for being our guest on Talking Art. Thank you to Quad City Bank and Trust for supporting Talking Art, and hope to see you at the festival. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.